It's up front and it's candid. This is Unrestricted. What's going on, everybody? This week I sat down with Fox Sports North's Marnie Gellner. Marnie's been with Fox Sports North since 2002. You've seen her on the Twins broadcasts, Timberwolves, Lynx, pretty much anything and everything that's been broadcast on Fox Sports North, whether it's high school, college, or pro. And she is a pro. And she's been in your living rooms for many, many years. And this is just an opportunity to sit down, listen to her, get to know her, hear her positivity and her energy and why she has made it into this sports world for so long. And you'll kind of hear about the things that sort of drive her crazy about the sports world, the broadcasting world, things that she really enjoys, things that she thinks about, the inner workings of her brain. And just listening to her as a true human being, just being one of us, having to navigate the sports broadcasting world in which it's very much male-dominated, and how that has an effect on her at times. And also get to hear about some interesting stories, some of the more iconic interviews that she's had with Josh Duhamel, with Lizzo in recent history, and just sort of the fun stories that led up to that and afterwards. So this is Marnie Gellner. You're gonna love her. This is Marnie Gellner, Unrestricted. We're recording.
R-E-C-O-R-D. Wait.
What are you trying to spell? I-N-G? Recording?
Recorde. It's French.
Hi, Marnie.
Hey, Ben. Thanks for having me.
This is going to be fun. Thank you for showing up and doing this.
Yeah. Have you had some no-shows?
No.
Okay.
No. But okay. Because I can be a little unorganized at times, especially this time of year. I meant to send you a text yesterday to say, hey, Marnie, just confirming tomorrow, 10 o'clock, blah, blah, blah. But I didn't.
No.
And then when I remembered, it was at 11 o'clock. And I don't know if you're a night owl
11
p.m. or...
Yeah,
yeah, 11 up. O'clock at night. I'm like, that's kind of rude.
I was
to send
in
a text
bed, but I'll
at
11.
Wake. So I didn't send it at 11 as we were watching The Undoing.
Oh, it's on my list.
Okay, it's on
my
list. So we were watching The Undoing, and it just kind of hit me. I'm like, oh, I should probably send that text out. And then I didn't. And then I woke up this morning, and I'm like, okay, well, 7:30, she's got to be awake.
Right? Yeah, did you turn on your radio?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
because you're on
listening.
Air at 7. This was my one day to sleep in.
Wednesdays are?
Yeah, Wednesdays kind of are a day where I can sort of sleep in.
Okay.
So 7:30, like 7:30 is like sleeping in for me.
Yeah, that's fair.
Right?
Yes, when you have kids, yeah.
Yeah.
And Wednesdays is my day to get up early because I have, a 7 to 9 shift on KFN, the power trip.
Yes.
You can feel free to text me late at night if you wish, because I put my phone on vibrate only, like ringer off, when I sleep. And if I have a family emergency someday, I may not know about it until I wake up. But I never hear it. Actually, I got a text last night at 11:30 from a dear friend. I think you know her, Donna Valentine.
I still
love her. And she texted me last night. So I woke up this morning at like 5:50 and I already had a text message. I'm like, what the? It was not from you, but I got yours this morning. We exchanged fun gifts as well.
We did.
And here I am. I would not have forgotten about this.
That's good. Well, I just never know.
People can be flaky.
It's a week or change in between communications
Thanksgiving.
And it's like, I just don't know. Maybe you're like, oh, screw it. I've got all these grocery runs to do. And
oh,
I've
you
got
know
all this
me
food
too
prepping
well.
To do.
You know me too well.
And it can just get lost in the shuffle.
Yeah.
Okay. How do you enjoy doing the power trip?
I enjoy it. I feel like I walk a fine line because I'm not just in there as me, Marnie. Mm-hmm. I'm in there as Fox Sports North's Marnie Gellner. So there are times when I could really go with the conversation, but I'm like, professionally, that's really not where I should be living. So I hold back on some of the jokes, and I let them go. I just sit back and watch that cart drive straight into the ditch. Sometimes it never comes out of the ditch, really. We start the show
well,
in the
yeah,
ditch.
It sometimes starts in the ditch and stays there.
It keeps me sharp, though. Don't you think you're constantly kind of thinking about where to take it next, or should I go with it? Do I change it up? Do I add to the story? It's yes, and I like it. I like it. I like those guys.
It can be a version of improv. I've never taken an improv class, but
you have,
and I would imagine that if you really want to be on your A game with the power trip, and you really want to be like pithy and quick, and you want to fire it all your bullets as fast as they do, right? Then it is you're digesting all this information between what Saw says or Corey says or Hawk says, and they're firing bullets. And if you want to fire bullets, you got to think quick.
And the voices are coming from everywhere.
Yeah, voices are coming from everywhere. And then you have the filter of yourself.
Yeah,
of
it's
saying,
a lot going on.
Oh, well, I can't say that because this is major market radio, and I shouldn't go down that road. Oh, and also I care about my employment at Fox Sports North. Probably shouldn't say that. And guess what? The moment's gone. It can be that quick.
And they are very quick. And they know their roles, and they play them well to make that show work.
But the good thing is, like, they know how to incorporate you. Like, you know how to incorporate yourself, and they know how to incorporate you as well. I mean, if it's Wolves or Twins or something like that in those seasons,
it's obvious, easy.
Like, they're going to ask you those relevant questions. But they also know that you love music, country music. You know, you're a fan of TV shows. You're doing all those other things, and you're public enough with your personal life that they know how to incorporate that. So, I think it's great, but I can tell that you hold back.
So can my friends when they sometimes text me and be like, "I could have just heard you zipping this line," or because I swear a lot. I do when I'm just in casual conversation. The girls get together or whatever, and we're just having a couple beers. And I like inappropriate humor, and I'll say it, and I'll go with it. I mean, not to the extent where I'm disparaging someone or something, but the first inappropriate thought, I'm there. But that's for me and my personal friends that have known me since seventh grade and Minot, which is most of my girlfriends.
Right.
And that's a different crowd, and that's a different safe space. I hold back a little bit.
Well, I think everybody has to hold back.
I mean,
obviously,
today I had to talk about caulking, and that was a tight rope.
That's a tough. If you're going to be doing any home improvement and you need to seal those edges, they really need to change the name of that caulking.
There's an L in there that I caulking. Will pronounce.
Yes.
Let's talk about caulk.
Caulk.
Anyway, I have to tell you something. I know we're just starting this podcast. Yeah. I can't see your mouth, and it's bothering me.
Okay.
Because you have a windscreen. You didn't give me a windscreen.
Well,
but you are speaking into a microphone as a windscreen, and you're like Wilson on the Home Improvement Tool Time.
Does it bother you?
Yeah, because I'm talking, and I can see your eyes and their expression. I can't see your mouth.
Good. I'm
going to
keep it that way. Now that I know that it annoys you, I'm really going to hide.
Well, I mean, for the sake of the quality of your podcast, Ben,
I'm going to hide.
Let me step it up. Now it's worse.
Well, you know, the funny thing is I'm really just winging the shit out of this thing.
Yeah, I can tell.
Obviously. And so I don't have the little pop screen that you have that fits on the top of that microphone.
Uh-huh.
I don't have another one of those. I don't know where it went.
Oh.
I actually don't even think that microphone came with that little mic cover, little screen.
Well, you know, so taking care of your equipment. That's step number one. Well done.
I'm piecing things together. I found
that
with one of them, and then this windscreen I found with another deal. And so, I can just attach it to this mic stand.
Yeah,
and do
I'm sure.
Yeah.
You ain't popping your peas.
I'm not popping the peas.
Mm-hmm. I'd ask you, how much research did you do for this particular episode, or do you feel like you know me well enough you're just going to wing some interesting stuff? Because I don't see any notes.
It's interesting. I have a couple notes here. It's interesting because thankfully all the guests that I've had on, I have some sort of history with, a personal relationship with. So I haven't had to do a lot of digging, nor do I want this podcast to be a true question and answer. I don't have a formulated – I kind of did with Mark Rosen on the first one. I'm like, okay, here's a series of just goofy questions. And I'm like, all right, let's just kind of get weird. And I just asked him some like ridiculous questions. It wasn't like, you know, what's your favorite childhood memory? You know, stuff like that. So I tried to put more thought into like, okay, what can just be kind of weird to get into his head to start the conversation?
Yes, right. A conversation.
Right.
It's not a Q&A.
It's not a Q&A. It's a conversation.
Well, that's what
friends do. So that's why I have just some – very generic notes that I looked up on you. So don't take this the wrong way. I spent about 20 minutes researching you. And that's about it.
Oh, that actually 20 is generous.
I didn't think.
Yeah. I mean, how much could there possibly be?
It was actually a lot. I was surprised at how many pages of Google when
really?
I typed in your name and I hit the news, the little news function.
Oh,
how
that
many
surprises me.
Well, you are a very busy person.
I used to be.
And you were mentioned a lot with a lot of sporting events and
okay,
whatever.
Okay.
And I think that you keep yourself very accessible to other podcasts and stuff and other articles. I read quite a few articles from North Dakota in which you.
Oh, okay. Now.
You know, in which local newspapers
now
would
we're
do
talking.
Stories
okay.
on you.
Yep. Now you're tapping in. You're going right for the heart. Go for the kill.
I know. So I didn't realize, though. I did not realize that you did not live in Minot your whole life.
Right.
You moved there when you were six.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good nugget.
Yeah.
Well, because I'm from Langdon,
yeah.
born and raised. That is a town of like 2,000 people in the very northeast corner.
Oh, I Google mapped it.
I
didn't realize how far close to Canada you were.
Oh, yeah. It's like 20 miles from the Canadian border,
yeah.
20 miles to the Minnesota
border. And it looks
border.
Like in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. It is a classic small town USA. But my mom is from there and my dad. So that means almost every aunt, uncle, cousin, my whole extended family, grandparents, were in Langdon. So even while I was growing up in Minot, even after we moved there at age six, we would go to Langdon for
everything.
Christmas.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was
Which
home.
Is how
but
far?
My, it was a three-hour drive.
A three-hour drive?
Yeah, we'd go to Rugby, and then we'd go through Rugby was an hour, and then we'd go through Candu, and we'd always stop at the Dairy Queen in Candu. That was another hour, and then we'd do Candu to Langdon was the last 1 hour. So it was a 3 hour, and sometimes we'd stop two times, hour one, hour two. But we made that drive a lot. But so I feel like Minot is home. I feel like Langdon is home. I also now feel like Fargo is home because my parents moved to Fargo like 15-ish years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And my younger brother lives in Fargo. So now when we go to see my family, we go to Fargo.
Right.
So
which is a much closer drive.
I am blank. Yeah. Than Minot. That's why my parents moved to Fargo. Because I have a brother in Fargo and a brother in Grafton, which is between Grand Forks and Langdon, essentially.
Okay.
So we've now mapped out the state, and here I am. Yeah, and my parents were way west in Minot, and all their kids had gone to the eastern part of the state or into Minnesota. So they were like, well, we got to go.
Yeah.
So they moved to settle in Fargo, which is a beautiful city. I love Fargo.
Yeah,
I also love Minot.
I can't believe you
Langdon.
Listed as your three favorite places to be, Seattle, New York, and Fargo. I'm like, come on. Come on, Marnie. I'm reading this article. I'm like, Marnie, come on. Like, you can't, of all the places that you've been through all your travels with everything.
Home is home.
We're talking.
Home is home.
Somebody asked you your three favorite places in America.
Well,
Seattle, great city, right?
Yeah.
Love
Beautiful.
Seattle.
Yep.
New York City, how can you not love New York City?
Hopping.
It's great. I couldn't live there, but I love to visit.
Yes.
And then you put Fargo.
And your point. I mean, who did I do that interview with? I don't even know. Was it like
know.
The Fargo Forum or something?
That's probably
which is
a
wonderful
point.
Newspaper.
That's a
well,
good point.
I will never diss North Dakota. You're a South Dakota guy. There's so much pride. People forget about us. You're a joke. Just it's so cold there. It's cold here.
Yeah.
It's not that different.
No, probably is not that different.
I think it's
different.
Sensitive.
I was going to go back to the fact that you and I share that similarity. When I was, six is not exactly sixth grade, but when I was in sixth grade, I moved from a small town in Iowa to where I eventually graduated in South Dakota. So I went through a move as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's interesting because I do have a lot of like love and pride for like that part of Iowa and like my upbringing in Iowa, because it really was the same thing. I think we were 4,000 people, and it was like the quintessential like Iowa small town. Like we had our courthouse in the middle of the square.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, and all the businesses and shops were around that little square area.
We had a main street. Yep.
Yeah. It was, you know, I didn't know it at the time how idyllic it was, but that was it.
Yes. My kids, and maybe yours are the same if you ever visit that town, but when we go to Langdon, my kids love it. We park the car on Main Street, and we probably grab a donut at the Bread Pan Bakery, which is the best bakery I've ever been to in my life, and that includes in the Twin Cities. And we might walk through the general store, and you'd walk, and we cover two blocks, because that's about how big Main Street is, And then we might go over to the John Deere implement and drive a four-wheeler or something because my cousin owns that. And they, it's like nowhere in the metro, if they're, because my kids are now growing up in the metro area, yeah. which is also wonderful.
Yeah.
But it is far from a town of 2,000 people with one blinking light. And that's life. I mean, life is simple and beautiful and just, oh, there's so much fresh air and the sky, the when the sky's like you're driving along in some of these roads in the flat part of North Dakota, which can get ripped, you have never seen the sky stretch. It's incredible. It's like you can't, it's like looking at the ocean. There can't possibly be an end. That's what the sky looks like to me when I'm in North Dakota. And it makes me feel so warm and welcome and home and comforted.
Yeah. Well, that's what home should do.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, as long as you didn't have like a horrible childhood.
That's true.
Yeah. As long as you didn't have like an abusive childhood or something like super traumatic, that's what home should feel like. I'm hoping that when my kids get older and your kids get older, that they look back, even though it's different than ours, that they would say, oh, you know, the sky in Edina was just so oh, yeah. amazing.
I'm sure that's what they're thinking.
I'm sure they're thinking that. Well, I hate to interrupt such a great conversation, but I have to thank my sponsors. I couldn't do this without my sponsors, so I want to thank Douglas & Todd Small Batch Bourbon. Everything about Douglas & Todd is all Minnesota. The wheat, the corn is all grown within 30 miles of the distillery up in Osakis. It is distilled there. It's bottled in Princeton, Minnesota, and distributed around the country. It is bourbon season, people. The weather's getting cold, and I can't think of a better thing on a cool night. Nice little glass of bourbon. So Douglas & Todd Small Batch Bourbon, please enjoy responsibly. 21 plus bourbon whiskey. It is 46.5% alcohol by volume. It is produced and bottled by Ed Phillips & Sons Company in Princeton, Minnesota. Thank you. Also, Pick and Shovelware. Head over to pickandshovelware.com. Check out all their awesome shirts and hats and hoodies. Again, it's getting a little cooler. I love a good hoodie, and they make awesome hoodies and apparel that are specific to Minnesota. They have all these fun graphic designs of your favorite sports teams, favorite sports moments as well. So very sports-centric, Minnesota sports-centric apparel company. You can get 20% off your first order at Pick and Shovelware if you just use the promo code LIEBER. That's L-E-B-E-R, 20% off your first order. And also to Wexford Harbor Insurance. They're an independent insurance agent representing over 40 different companies. The man, the guy that runs Wexford Harbor, Pat Kelly, look him up. He and his staff are sure to take care of you. They're going to find the best value for you, for your family, for your home, for all of your auto needs, anything that you're looking for, umbrella insurance, or if you're in the commercial space looking for a commercial insurance as well, over 40 different companies that he independently checks for you. That's Wexford-Harbor, that's harbour.com/unrestricted to find them, Wexford-Harbor.com/unrestricted, or email them at info@wexford-harbour.com. All right, let's get back to the show. I do want to go back and circle back to your childhood, and you were talking about your just your language and your energy and all that stuff. I'm curious what your household was like. You're the middle child, which I have a middle child.
Mm-hmm.
I know what my brother is a middle child, so I know what middle children are like. But when you talk about like your vulgarities and the way you talk, and sometimes you're okay dropping.
Well, I didn't do that as a child.
No. But what I'm saying is, like, was your household like that? Like, were your parents just kind of like free flowing?
No.
Uh-huh. Pretty conservative.
Very conservative. Yeah. Very conservative, Catholic, typical middle class. My mom's a teacher. My dad had a few different jobs, but always very blue collar. And it was, I feel like super typical, super happy. I have two brothers, so I am the middle child, but I'm the only girl. But mm-hmm. I was a super tomboy, like, oh, very tomboy. There are photos of me in, like, seventh grade where I look like a boy. And I was very happy because I just was so into my sports. So we had a very active, like, we were in a sport in every season, both my brothers and I. And, not a rip-roaring Friday nights. No, just very kind of.
But your parents didn't like walk around and drop F-bombs
no.
every once in a while? Or...
No.
Yeah.
No, very church going, non-F-bomb dropping.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like they don't swear now. F is a little harsh with a lot of SH.
Yeah.
That's a standard.
Right.
No, I developed that on my own.
I was going to say, you're self-taught then.
Yeah. I mean, we got to learn some things on our own.
But you've probably always had this energy, though, right? Every time we're around each other, since we've gotten to know each other the last few years, you are a very happy, energetic person with a full of energy.
Sure.
I mean, even without your chocolate mocha, skim milk, no whip, or whatever I had to order.
White chocolate mocha, skim milk.
Yeah, whatever.
No whip.
Yeah, whatever that
is. No bean. Next time. It's the most delicious drink, and I am so envious of your endorsement with Caribou. I am so envious because it is one of my absolute favorite. As soon as the weather turns, I'm like, oh, I want a white chocolate mocha so bad.
Oh, so you don't drink that year-round?
Well, they make an iced version.
Oh, gotcha.
So I do.
Yeah.
But I have another iced coffee that I can go to. I don't have another hot coffee that I can go to. So what were we talking about?
Well, it's talking about your energy. Like, you're always so bubbly and you're always so happy.
I'm very blessed with that is just my genetic. I don't work on it. I in general am a happy person. I'm an optimistic person. I didn't do anything to get this way. Thank God for the gifts in my life. And honestly, that is one of them. Just a mental stability and happiness. I think that's fair. I don't have an ADD likeness to me, though. Do I, where you're like, God, rein her in?
No,
or maybe
not at
I
all.
Do.
No, not at all. I just think that you're perfect for this specific line of work. Like, you are entertaining, energetic, positive, engaging, whenever you're on TV and on the radio.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. And the thing is, you can tell that that's not forced.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I think some people have to turn that switch on. And I know that we all at some point in time have to be a little bit more amped up for a live broadcast.
Yes, the light goes on.
Yeah, the light goes on. Of course, it's game day. It's whatever,
yeah,
right? But even when you and I just talk at a celebrity softball game, or we're just off mic and we're here at the studio, or we're doing something else, you still have that energy and positivity and that outlook.
Yeah.
And it just seems like,
all right, I'll accept that, and I thank you for those very kind words.
Yeah. But I could see how, knowing that I have a middle child and I know what my brother's like, I could see how that'd be annoying as a child.
I don't remember it being like anything that stood
out.
Are
you a classic middle child, though?
What is a classic middle
rebellious,
child?
Rebellious, you know, whatever. If the older child's going to zig, I'm going to zag.
A little bit.
Defiant, a little pushing the boundaries.
I mean, like, in our family, my older brother is by far the quietest and the most calm. Then I am me, and my younger brother is the spoiled favorite one. So I guess we fall into some of that typical tendency. And now he's going to listen to this podcast and be texting me like, what the? But he knows it. He knows it, and my parents know it. But, in high school, I was voted class clown.
See, I can see that.
And best athlete. But I was way more proud.
Yeah.
I was way more excited about the class clown. So that, I guess it's just, it's just me. It kind of oozes out of me. I don't know why, but there could be way worse.
Yeah.
Ways to be.
Yeah.
I don't remember it as standing out as a youngster, though. I always had a lot of friends. I never was in a real clique. I sort of was friends with the athletes and friends with the people in drama and friends with the music people. I just sort of like bounced around and I just found like,
Well, I could see that. I could see that from you. Like, even though that you're an athlete, you didn't pigeonhole yourself and just being like, oh, that's my friend group and that's the only people I'm going to talk to. You know, I can't look up your name without talking about and reading about your sketchbook that you had as a kid, because you want to be an SNL, you want to be a writer, and, you know, one of your favorite people in the whole world is Molly Shannon.
That's my girl.
So I do want to touch on that.
Okay.
Because, again, I like the origin stories of all this stuff. You know, when and at what age did you be like, SNL, love it, I want to do that? Like, that's what I want to do.
I don't remember not wanting to do that.
It's just always been
there. And I didn't grow up, like, watching the... I don't remember the Belushi SNLs. Like, I've seen them now, like the Gilda Radner and that. But I didn't grow up with it. I really was more in the... Like, I might have been my middle school-ish, high school-ish. And my mom and I would watch... She loved SNL, and so did I. We would watch it, and then when we got VCRs, I would record it, and then I would watch it back. And there's... I don't remember not wanting to do something in the entertainment world. I didn't know what that was. I still really don't know what it is. But SNL, just for some reason, was like, oh, if I could do anything.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about the closing of Saturday Night Live where the whole cast comes back on the stage and the host says, thanks for watching, everybody. Have a great night. And they wave and they play the music. I will watch that. I will, to this day, if SNL is bad, I will still forward to the end and just watch that. That's the hugs. And I'm like, what are they saying? And can you imagine the feeling when the show is over?
Yes.
And I would wave to people and I would go hug my favorite cast member. And I planned in my head what I would do if I was a cast member on SNL. I don't know what it is about that closing scene. I don't know. But that is the one visual that I have actually, like, envisioned myself doing.
It's fascinating.
And hosting, obviously.
Well, right. Well, it's fascinating when you say that, though, because as a young kid, I think that's I don't want to say weird. It seems like
specific.
An uncharacteristic observation that you had as a young kid to jump to the end and be like, I want to know what that feeling is like. Not the feeling of ripping off a skit and making people laugh.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that that's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But in your recollection of, like, kind of why it was nostalgic to you and why you were drawn to it, it was like that ending scene where everybody's just celebrating all the hard work and this week's worth of work. And I'm sure at that time you didn't even know what went into the show.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah. But you're like, wow, they did it. Game over. That's the positive feeling that I want to have.
That's part of it. But you know what I think the other part is that they're not in character. It's the, whoops, who doesn't silence their phone?
Oh, come on, rookie
move. That's
Miami,
Florida. I better pick that up. It came off my watch, though. My phone is silenced, just for the record.
Gotcha.
It's my watch. It's that those people are not in character. So it was Molly Shannon standing on the stage. It wasn't Mary Catherine Gallagher, who she is in the skits.
Right.
So then I'm like, these are the people. And it's the same thing if I watch bloopers, which I love, outtakes from a show, or when they used to do like a Will and Grace, film before a live studio audience. If you ever saw the ending where the actor would come out and wave to the audience and they might get introduced, like, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Megan Mullally. And she, and there, and she, I am fascinated. I will watch that and study that every time because it's the person, not the character. And I'm just like, and then you see a little bit of the set and you see some behind the scenes and it just, that world fascinates me even at 40 freaking 7 years old. I am still fascinated by that. If I could go to the taping of a sitcom, oh, that is one thing. Now they don't do that anymore. Well, A, COVID, but nothing is filmed before a live studio audience anymore. Maybe SNL, which I tried to get tickets to once.
Right.
It didn't work out. But then I don't know if I'd just be in the audience like, oh, God, this hurts even more because I always wanted to be on that stage.
Yeah.
So thanks for bringing that up.
There's still a chance. There's still a chance. It's funny you say that because I probably don't have that level of interest with it, but I do find it fascinating to get to know the person behind the character and all this other stuff, right? So there was a point in time a couple years ago, and this is not a humble brag. This is just to, like, add to your story. But I got to know Eric Stonestreet a little bit from Modern Family.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's a Kansas State grad. And
sure.
There's our first initial meeting was a whole nother story. But I was in Los Angeles at the Fox studios doing some football-related things.
Yeah. And they film Modern Family right there. I have seen it.
So it's all in the back lot.
Yeah.
And so I texted him and said, hey, I'm in town. I'm at the lot.
You texted him.
And I said, if you're around – let's get together or whatever. He's like, we're doing a rehearsal right now. I'll come. He's like, here's where it's at. come hang out. So then I, I go to this back lot, and it's not the main set.
Uh-huh.
It's he and, why am I blanking on the, on her name?
Sofia Vergara.
Well, no, but.
Julie Bowen.
So he and Julie Bowen were rehearsing a dance for this prom skit that was going to be in the show. Mm-hmm. And there was another comedian there, Will something. I forget his last name, too. Anyway, so there's three of them. Just three of them. And then, like, a director, like a choreographer or whatever. And they're just going through the stuff. And it was fascinating to me, not just watching the rehearsal, but, like, they weren't really in character. You know, like, they were kind of playing the...
Sure.
But it was, like, a complete offset thing. So,
yeah.
You know, when they would make a mistake, they, you know, he wouldn't be in his cam voice.
Yeah.
You know, he'd be.
Which is
his,
different than his Eric Soundstreet voice. Yeah.
So they were talking through stuff
and
just their own. And I'm like, man, you kind of forget that, like, all right, they're working really hard at the craft. Like, I appreciated, like, how much they worked.
Technical.
And I sat there, I don't know, for an hour or whatever, and they'd have been going for a long time. And we got to talking afterwards, and he said they'd rehearsed that particular scene for hours, right?
Wow.
Trying to get the movements down and whatever. And then when you see it actually on the episode, it's maybe 10 seconds.
Yeah. But I bet it killed.
That,
did it kill?
It killed. It was great.
It was perfect.
But it was, to your point about seeing the person behind the character, I just sat there oddly, I mean, just watching them, and I'm like, wow, that's just normal people. They're just like working their ass off doing this one scene. It was an appreciation for, man, they put a lot of work into this show. They put a lot of work into it.
Yeah, they don't just show up and yuck,
and
here's
I know,
a joke.
And I know that, but that was one scene.
Yeah.
And you get to see, like, all the work that went into one choreographed scene.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
well, they have to physically hit marks all the time.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing.
And that show in particular, because the camera moves.
Yeah.
It's not just this camera on a stationary where they're multiple moving pieces. I have seen that Modern Family set in the off season when it's all sort of everything is draped off. But what you're talking about, you visiting that, I would be in utter fascination. I'm just visualizing it in my head because I've been to that Fox lot because I work for Fox. And if the Wolves play the Lakers or the Clippers, we have a girl that used to work in our Fox Minneapolis office, Amy Anderson. Love you, girl. And I'll call her and be like, I'm in town. Or Jenny Taft, former Fox Sports North employee, now working for the Big Fox. As a matter of fact, it was Amy and Jenny, and we had lunch on the Fox lot, and the Modern Family set was open, although draped off. So we walked through it. I walked up the stair. I was like, oh, my God. I could have spent hours in there. There wasn't a human being in there, and it wasn't even set up. But
did you sit on the couch or anything? Was the couch draped over?
The couch was draped over, yeah.
You should have
I walked the steps.
Oh, you should have
steps.
Taken a picture.
I know. With the striped pillow, the colored pillows.
Yeah.
It's a world that absolutely fascinates me. I'm not exactly sure why, because I've seen it. I know what a set looks like.
Yeah.
But I can even remember being in college, maybe a junior year in college, and I came home for the summer, and I worked at KMOT TV 10 in Minot, North Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my jobs was at noon. So I was a receptionist because the receptionist went on maternity leave. So I had an 8-week job or something, 8 to 5, front office KMOT TV 10. And one of my jobs was what they had a live noon show. And at 11:40, whatever time, the noon show guest would come in. It was my job to escort. Actually, the noon show was going on at the time. The guest had to wait in the lobby because the lights were all on. I would escort the guest back to the set, and it was my favorite part of the day. And I would just stop and, like, take it in and be like, this is live television. Look at all the lights. Look at this set. Look, and that was a set in Minot.
Yeah.
So it was pretty small and simple, but there's just something about it. It just...
There's something very intoxicating about it.
It's incredible.
Yeah, yeah. I can understand that part. But the thing is, what you do in your job is the same thing. There are people that are listening to this, and they will say, but you get to see behind the scenes of these athletes. And that's how fans feel about athletes, the way you feel about, you know,
sitcoms.
Entertainment, that world of TV and movies and stuff like that. But I think that's why it's hard to articulate for some people, like, why they love sports so much, because those, your Molly Shannon is somebody's Justin Morneau, you know? And then they're like, oh my gosh, Marnie not only gets to talk to them after the game, but like, she really knows them. Like you were, yeah.
And I watch their morning shoot around, which is not open to the public. And I watch how they put their shoes on. I see where their stall is in the locker room.
You're talking to them when they're not in quote unquote character.
Yeah. Oh, you know? Yeah. You're right.
So like, does that ever, do you ever make that connection too? That you're doing that in a sports
world? Not until just now.
Okay.
For some reason, that doesn't do it for me. And maybe that's good because I just do my work. I'm not, like, I have met some athletes and I have been in a hallway when Michael Jordan walked through and I have, I've been in an elevator with Magic Johnson and it was cool as hell, but it doesn't do it for me the way that a sitcom or SNL or so. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I'm in the sports world all the time. And if that did it for me, I would be fawning over athletes all the time and be like, can I get my picture with you? Will you sign this? And so it's actually probably really good that I do see them as people, incredibly talented and gifted and blessed people who live a life that I cannot identify with. But I do see them as real and reality. And in anything associated with that entertainment world, it's like not real. I think that's why it fascinates me so much. It's like, wow, what is that life like? What is that world like?
Yeah, but that's so crazy that you would say that because there are many people in the entertainment world that'd be like, oh yeah, that's just so-and-so.
Yeah, like, that's true. That's why entertainers want to be athletes and athletes want to be entertainers.
It's so true. Yeah. Or rock stars.
That's right. Or rappers.
or rappers.
Yeah.
But I do think that that's a cool part of your job. And I think that you are approaching it the right way in the fact that you can't be distracted by the moment or the person.
You can't be awestruck.
You can't be awestruck. Like, you can't fangirl on somebody and be like, oh, okay, you're just standing there, like, gawking at them. Like, go
because
do your
job. Because these athletes get that all the time. Every hotel we check into in every city has the autograph people outside in the roped-off area. And those are the... Some of them are doing it for profit. I get it. But everywhere they go, it's autographs and pictures. And they can't have that from the person working for the team.
Right. So. Right. Yeah. And I have to think that the NBA probably is way worse with that stuff than baseball. And maybe I'm wrong.
No, you're right. You're right. But it's the NBA is just at a different level. And the players are so visible. They're so recognizable. They're physically so recognizable because most of them are 7 feet tall. And we see them all the time without a hat, without a helmet. They're visually recognizable.
Yeah. And I feel bad for people that are in public that are 6'6" and higher and don't play basketball. Because, I assume that you played basketball at some sort of high level, whether it's Division One or something. Yeah. And
ain't no hiding either. Ain't no hiding when you're 6'10".
No.
Ask Jim Peterson. I mean, he did play.
And he did play.
But we will walk. I have this distinct memory. Last season, we're walking to dinner in Denver, and he got stopped like 2 or 3 times. People just walking by. Hey, how tall are you? Hey, buddy, how tall are you? And he's like, 6'10". And sometimes he answers, sometimes he doesn't. He gets it all the time. Here's a 50-some-year-old man.
Yeah.
If you're Carl Anthony Towns, you ain't sneaking into anywhere.
No, nowhere. And congratulations, the NBA season's like starting.
Yeah, December 22nd.
They made the announcement. I know that there was some discussion about pushing it back. I heard Bron was saying that he needs more time off. And and I'm glad that they stuck to their guns and said, listen, we understand that you guys won a championship and you're an older player and you have a lot of weight in this game. But we also have to think about all the other teams didn't.
Big picture.
Yep. A lot of teams didn't make it to the bubble, didn't make it to where you guys are, and those people need to play, and we need to get this season started.
And Christmas Day has become a huge day in the NBA. It's their holiday. It's their showcase day.
Yeah,
and
tell so the now Vikings by starting that. Tell on the December, NFL that. The freaking Vikings have a game that day.
What are they thinking?
I don't know. I honestly don't. It's a Friday. When does the NFL play on a Friday? Play on Thursday, you play on Sunday.
Is that
on Monday.
Right? The Vikings play a Friday night game?
They play a Friday
Christmas
afternoon
day.
Game.
Which is Christmas Day?
Christmas Day.
Wow, so they're going to be up against the marquee NBA matchups.
So dumb. It's so
That's
dumb.
Why the NBA doesn't play a lot of Thanksgiving games to go head-to-head with the NFL, because the NFL and Thanksgiving go hand-in-hand. That's a tradition.
Yeah. So I don't know all the details. So is the NBA playing their full season?
72 games instead of 82.
Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah. And we haven't seen any schedules. They're going to try to contain the travel to where you're going to a city once and playing a team twice while you're there so that you don't go back. And they'll probably
do leagues geographically.
They're not doing a bubble.
Okay. No. So everybody's going to be like the Timberwolves are going to be here at their training facility, and then they'll hit the road when they hit the road, but then they come back.
Yeah.
Okay.
I assume they will rope us off geographically like they did in baseball. They did not do American League Central and National League West. And they sort of put you in your region. National League or American League didn't matter. They kept it geographically, like you had an oval and that's where you worked.
Right. And you don't know if you are remote or are you traveling?
I am certain I will not be traveling. I don't think any of our broadcasters will be traveling. It's just if we can do it remotely for a season, why would you put the risk out there? It's not worth it. No one has traveled yet. MLB, NFL, why are we going to start now until we are further along?
Yeah, that's true.
It's just not going to happen.
That's true.
It's okay.
I feel for you guys that like it does bring a level of excitement. It's a different broadcast. And I know that everybody's like, listen, I'm doing remote college football. Like we're not on site.
It's
working. You know, I don't think there's any been, you know, I'm sure people rip me for the things I say and the way I do it, but nobody's ripping our broadcast. Ripping our broadcast for like, oh, you guys sound terrible because you're not there. I don't think people even really care or know anymore.
Honestly, no. I don't think so either. We the twin season was one of the first, like MLB season in general, to start doing these games remotely, because we started before college football or anything. Baseball was the first sport to get back up and going, along with soccer.
Mm-hmm.
And when we started, we did our first broadcast, and I did, at the request of our boss, like several hits on here's how we're doing this, because the Twins started on the road. They were in Chicago. Here's how we're doing this. This is a behind-the-scenes look at Justin Morneau and Dick Bramer, and here's the monitor they're using. And people, by the end of the broadcast, I think, were sick of it. They were like, we get it. It was like, that's all it took was just about three innings of, okay, this is what it's going to sound like. This is going to look like. We know you're not there, but guess what? They're watching a game from their living room the exact same way. It has not changed for the viewer. It changes for the broadcaster. And as soon as we realize that it doesn't matter to the viewer, they're seeing the game and consuming it exactly the same. Nothing changed, but it changed dramatically for us. But as soon as we stop talking about it, the better off we are. They're like, yeah, I see it. Yeah, I get it. You're not there. I don't care. It's the same for me.
Yeah. But you had to put it out there, and you had to make sure that everybody knew. And the thing is, if it was done in a normal year, they'd be like, well, what the hell are they doing? Like, why are they not going to the games? But I think everybody at that point in time knew, it's pandemic. We get it. Yeah. We understand why people are doing this. So if this is how we can consume our sport, we don't care. Yeah. We just want to consume our sport. And if you guys have to be at Target Field and doing it while they're playing the White Sox, fine.
Yes.
That's just the way it's going to be. And I got to say, how quickly it just became normal. Like,
agreed.
I didn't even think about it. Like, I love having the Twins on all the time. Now, I'm not an avid watcher, but it is one of those, like, it's the summertime thing.
It's summertime background
noise.
It's summertime
background noise.
Whether you're locked in or you just have the game on.
Exactly.
You're right.
And I wait for the big moments, and I wait for the big sounds, and I'm like, oh, shit, what happened over there? Like, oh, that's a hell of a home run, or that's a hell of a play. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of catch up on it. But you know, not watching it thinking like, oh, well, that sounds weird because Justin doesn't sound like he's at the game or whatever, or Dick's not saying this, or he would normally say this. Like,
and didn't matter.
And the technology is to the point where, like, there's no delay, really. Like, you guys are getting the feed.
Yes.
And it's pretty much live.
Yeah. Technology has been a savior through COVID. Like, Zoom calls and all, I did all of my interviews with the players through either Zoom or through a camera. I'm looking in a camera in the upper or the middle deck right in front of the press box, and the player was on the field looking into a camera, and that's how we did a post-game interview.
Yeah.
The rest of them were through Zoom all season. I never saw a human being except like on the field, but I never had a conversation with anyone in person.
Right. Now, what about the Lynx? Any word on the Lynx?
Well, they are a summer season
as
well. So, I mean, we won't know until we get closer to May again.
So the only thing that you have clarity on right now is just NBA,
which I don't
because
have
baseball clear. Is still waiting.
Yeah, I don't know how we can. I mean, it's hard to plan even a week in advance. I'm hoping the NBA season starts on December 22nd, mm-hmm. and that we get up and rolling. I mean, there's no guarantee right now of anything, but I'm counting on it. I mean, yeah. I thought the NFL was going to shut down after week one or two or whatever it was. I thought the MLB was going to shut down at least twice when we had a couple of teams yeah. with outbreaks. But we didn't. We forged ahead, I guess you can play through it. This sports are teaching us how to learn to live with this until we are through this.
I 100% agree. And we are facing more and more college football postponements/cancellations, but that in itself is being self-contained within those two teams that are affected. And
yes.
by and large, the sport itself is forging ahead. They're going forward.
Yes.
And
yep.
I think everybody realizes, like, even with the news that that Wisconsin is not going to be probably have enough games to be eligible, that's just the way it is. Like, it's unfortunate, but that's just yeah. kind of the way it
we
is.
We almost didn't have a season. So
yeah, we almost didn't have a season.
If you look on the bright
so,
side.
Yeah, exactly. And I think everybody kind of realizes it's kind of a throwaway year. I mean, we're still going to honor the winners, like the championship winners. I think so. I mean, I think people respect that the fact
yeah.
that the Lakers won fair
oh, yeah.
and square, right? Like,
oh,
there's
yeah.
no asterisks to that whole thing.
If there is, it could be that you won a championship in the most difficult season in the history
True.
Of your sport. It
True.
Shouldn't be any less of a championship.
Yeah, exactly.
No. What else you got?
Well,
what else you got?
I think the obvious questions sometimes are, I know everybody wants to talk about, like, your favorites this and your favorites that, but I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, God forbid we talk about things I like.
No, I don't want to do that. I want to know from you, what's your least favorite part of your job? Jobs.
My least favorite part of my jobs is probably transcribing interviews. Because
Say what?
Transcribing.
You have to transcribe your interviews. What do you mean?
I do, because I will never misquote someone. I get really sensitive about just throwing out things that people said. But, for example, in the NBA season, a Timberwolves season, they have a shoot-around at 10 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. And they have morning media availability. So they do their interviews after shoot-around. Let's say it's 11 a.m. And I might get three players. Well, the game isn't until 7. So I have plenty of time in between time. And let's say my topic is Carl Anthony Towns has been working on his footwork a lot in the post. And so at morning shoot-around, I ask him, like, how have you been working on it? And then I ask a couple other players, like, have you seen Kat working on his footwork? Oh, yeah, I saw him after practice. Okay, so there's my sort of storyline for the game and among other things. So I listen back to the interviews that I did. I use a recorder and I record my interviews. I listen back and I type out the answers. That is a transcription. So that when it comes game time and I have a bunch of little nuggets for a game, which is often like 15 of them,
yeah.
and I might use two or three,
right.
but I've got stuff available for any and every situation. But I will never misquote someone because I've been misquoted, and I just think it's a lazy way to do our jobs.
Mm-hmm.
I might be able to paraphrase, like, yeah, you said he's been – it's a lot of left foot hopping, and I might be able to paraphrase, but a lot of times I like to add a quote – because it's so specific and it's attributing right to that person and it's completely factual. And I do transcribe and I am anal, and it is the worst part of my day.
Yeah. But also when you lay it out like that, it's super important that you do that.
Because, I think so.
Because you don't want to be misquoted and then all of a sudden someone questions your credibility and you're just, and let's just say you're just paraphrasing and like, well, Marnie Gellner said this on the broadcast. And you're like, but now you can say like, no. This is an actual direct quote.
Yeah.
And this is a direct quote to what Kat said.
Yeah.
So if you can't be mad at me. I'm the messenger.
Yeah.
I'm just
he
saying.
He said it.
He said it, whether it's about his footwork or maybe he said something about a player or the game or the matchup or whatever. And you say, but they said it. I'm just telling you what they said.
Yeah.
And I didn't put any extra words in there. I didn't click
Correct.
Anything out.
Yes.
So that's very
that
smart.
That takes
of
it off
did
of
you,
me. Yeah.
Did you learn that the hard way or were you sort of?
I don't even remember. I've been doing this for so long. I've been at FSN for 18 years. Halloween was my 18-year anniversary at FSN. That's a long time to be
at one
job.
That's a hell of a run.
I didn't get flowers or nothing.
Well, they're waiting for 20.
Yeah, let's wait
yeah.
for 20.
They're waiting for 20.
I don't remember learning it. I just remember sort of – I also have this – constant fear, is that the right word, of doing something wrong, of saying something wrong. Like I have just lazily said the wrong score or, and then I will beat myself up over it for days. I can't let it go. I just dwell on mistakes. And it's a terrible character flaw because you got to move on. And eventually I do. But I kill myself. So I think part of it is just for what you said. I'm not going to get it wrong. I don't want that on myself. I don't sleep well if I say somebody's name wrong or he's from Kansas, but really he's from Kentucky or something. And then I can just hear people going, she doesn't know shit. Did you hear that? And it was a simple mistake. And sometimes it's a male-female thing where I think Ben Lieber could say the guy's from Kentucky when he's from Kansas. Well, you wouldn't make that mistake, would you? But you know what I mean? A Texas-Louisiana thing or whatever. And you just, it's inadvertent. You're not really thinking about it. You're thinking about the other thing you're trying to say and it slips out. And if a guy does it, it's like, oh, he meant Kansas. Mm-hmm. And then if I do it, it's like, she's an idiot. And I might be projecting that, but I feel that. So I'm super careful.
Do you think that holds you back, though, at times? Like paralysis by analysis thing?
I don't know if it holds me back, but it makes me do all the extra work so that I don't do that.
But when the light comes on, you're not thinking about like, okay, don't screw up.
No, absolutely
not. Like, okay, I got to redeem myself this game, and I got to make sure I really hit this mark, or I got to make sure that.
Okay. No.
But it's just the thing behind the scenes that kind of drives you.
Yes. Yeah. To not screw up. Yeah.
Well, I think that's normal, though. I mean, as long as it doesn't.
If you care about the quality of work, I don't care what kind of job you're in. You should care about that.
Yeah. If you walked away and you're like, yeah, I screwed two of those things up. That's fine. It's fine. I've been here 18 years.
Yeah.
It's fine. They're not going to fire me.
F it.
That's what goes down the road of like, Marty's starting to slip a little bit. Maybe you should start looking at somebody else. But if you put that work in and that drives you behind, that's I think, completely normal. But if you were, I would say if that's on your mind as you're doing the broadcast, well, you do a hell of a job pulling off the fact that it's not.
It's not. It just, if I make a mistake, which is so rare, but if I do, I can't easily let them go.
But you touched on something that I think is important that most male broadcasters don't have to think about is that you are a female in a male-dominated sport. And it might be different. It might actually be different when you are calling Lynx games. You know, maybe there isn't that heightened sense of like, I got to build up my credibility here. Or I don't get as much leash as other people do.
Yeah.
But when you're talking men's sports, that can be a part of, unfortunately, the conversation of like, why is this woman doing a man's sport? And and I'm going to look at her under a different microscope in a different fishbowl than I would somebody else.
No doubt. I think that is a perfectly... Not only do I think it happens, I think it's actually pretty logical. I have caught myself doing it when I have flipped on some game, often like a lower tier, not a top-notch A crew, not a Ben Lieber type crew, and I've seen someone, and it's a female, and she's new, I've never heard her name, and then she gives a report, and I have caught myself going, what is she? Like, I'm judging her. Do you know this game? Do you know? I don't know why. Maybe it's a society thing.
I think it's a societal thing. But are you also saying that because of maybe her delivery and not so much what she's saying?
You know when I do it? When a girl is really pretty.
Oh.
I am terrible, aren't I? But if a girl is so pretty, I think somebody may have hired her and just said, like, read that. But part of it also is I've been there. I've been in the camera well at the Metrodome when an up-and-coming someone who is now a superstar got handed questions and rehearsed them to the producer. The producer was standing in the camera well with her, and she recited them back. And he was like, well, I think you should stress this word and change best to better. And so she repeated the questions again and went through them. And I was appalled because it was our national person. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I've seen it firsthand. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes I'm so distracted by how pretty some women are. And that is a compliment. that I'm just like, I don't know what you said. And then I feel terrible because I'm like, if people, sometimes I will have a great game and have some unbelievable nuggets, add so much flavor to a game and be like, God dang, I sidelined the hell out of this game. And someone will tweet me and be like, I do not like your hair. And I'll be just crushed.
Yeah.
Or like that jacket you wore, Goodwill, tonight. And I'll just be like ruined.
Yeah.
And then I find myself sometimes doing it.
Yeah. I know. I can't imagine what it's like to be in that world where people, it doesn't matter. And listen, you could be the top. You know, I'm sure that Michelle Tafoya gets ripped apart for maybe what she's wearing, or and people on TV will tune out what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And only break you down. Yes. And judge you for the way you look. And yeah. And it's unfortunate that's just the way society is. And I mean, I've done it. I mean, other people have done it. It's just like if you are very captivating and like, let's say it's a really pretty person, you're like, wow, that's a really, it's a good looking gal. Right. And you kind of like forget like what they're even saying. Yeah. or you give them extra leeway. Like, oh, that's just so cute because she looks so cute. You know, like, but I mean, in my experience, I even do this on a weekly basis. When I'm standing in my closet and I'm looking for, okay, what suit am I going to wear for this broadcast? I even tell myself, nobody gives a shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have to think about, in a woman's world, ooh, this is going to look yes. really cute. And this is what, oh boy, this guy ripped me for my hair last week. Maybe I should do my hair differently yeah. this week. I mean, thankfully I just shaved my head and I don't have to worry about that. But like, it's those little victories that guys get to have that women don't get to have. Mm-hmm. And it is unfair. And I don't know how we get away from that, but uh-huh. that is true.
Well, it's true. And think about women's clothing. A lot of the really cute, stylish stuff I will not wear because I will not show cleavage, for mm-hmm. example. I won't even do a deep V-neck because I do not want one single athlete or viewer to think that, oh, I see why she's covering the Timberwolves. Right. Like, I will wear a 1-inch heel at max. I refuse to wear a high heel or a stiletto, A, because I can't walk and I'm not going to teach myself and I ain't going to do that. But also, it's not practical, it's not functional, and it gives off my feeling. If I would wear it, this is for me, it would give off the, oh, I am trying to catch the attention of these men that I'm working with.
Right.
And I want to come across as plain Jane as possible, but still look cute because I want to look good on TV.
Sure,
but
yeah.
that is not an easy balance to find that I am not going to show you revealing or slutty or even dip a toe in that water. I am hypersensitive about that. If you've ever seen me do any game, look at my neckline.
Yeah.
It doesn't even come close. Look at my shoes. They're hideous. But they're comfortable.
They're functional.
And they don't send any message other than, well, that looks like a lady that's got a couple of kids and is happily married and in her late 40s. And that's where I'm living.
But most shots don't get your shoes. So there's kind of
No, but
of
people
that.
In the arena and the yeah. athletes themselves. I don't want any of the guys.
Mm-hmm.
I work with almost exclusive guys. On the teams, I don't want any of the players to see me in person and think that I'm trying to give off a certain vibe. It was early in my career. I was asked out multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not even a fine line. That's a big, thick, wide, I'm not crossing that line.
Yeah.
So which is hard because you want to develop friendships and trust and casual conversation, but you never want it to go into, oh, is she being flirty? Is she
yeah,
flirty?
Yeah.
No, no, she's not.
But that's the way it should be, and I wish that we could get
yes,
that
it
with
should.
With. I mean, this is kind of like taking it and stretching it pretty far, but that's the way it should be with everything. It should be about the content of what you're providing.
It should be, but you can never take away the fact that there's a male and a female talking to
you
each
can.
Other.
You can't. But it
Bottom
should
line.
Be. But more of life should be a meritocracy where it's like you're earning this, versus, oh, well, you kind of satisfy a few boxes we need to check. So we're just going to go ahead and put you in there and we'll kind of coach you through this. And we'll give you some questions to answer, to ask these guys after the game to where you look like you're functional, but just look pretty. You know, just just smile and make sure that mic flag is pointing the right direction, and you're good to go. But that's it. Should be about the content. It should be about
it. Should be
the nuggets.
You're fooling yourself if you think it is.
No, I know.
I mean, it just isn't.
But it.
But
we should still
mad at it.
No, but that's the reality of it. And I'm not saying you're mad at it. I'm just saying that's it is unfortunate that you, representing all women in male sports, that's the reality of what you have to deal with. And I think that's the more that we can, I think, express that and get that out, maybe the less of the assholes that you'll get on Twitter that will say those comments, you know, because
maybe,
because I think right now it's the if we don't talk about it, then they don't realize how much that actually affects somebody. But the more you talk about it, the more it's out there. It's like, oh, yeah, that is kind of true. Boy, these women in sports have to work a little extra harder, don't they? And maybe you won't be that prick that's on social media, like, ripping you for your neckline or your shoes that you're wearing. And as opposed to being like, wow, let's compliment Marnie on that's a great question. That was like, wow, she – good job. Or even just like, hey, good job, Marnie. You did a hell of a job. Kudos to you. You pointed out Lizzo's ass crack.
Oh, that was a
that was that interview that you had with Lizzo,
yeah,
in the Timberwolves, it's Lakers game,
yes,
yeah,
uh-huh.
not Clippers. I know it was
it was Lakers.
Yeah, was awesome.
Thank you. I went up to her at halftime on my own. I was very nervous. She was very intimidating. Because I love her voice, and she was so hot. I mean, she still is. I mean, hot, like popular and just on fire. And I remember thinking, why in the hell is she in her seat at halftime? None of the A-list celebs, as a matter of fact, not only do they not sit in their seat at halftime, they get up with 2 minutes to go so they can get into the VIP room before everybody else gets up, and then they come back after the second half has started. That's how A-listers roll. And she was sitting in her seat at halftime. I now know why. At the time, I did not, but she was missing part of her dress. So she couldn't get up or she would ruin the effect. So, yeah, so I went up to her and she could not have been nicer. Yeah, then we executed that interview. And it was that interview aired live in the third quarter. In the fourth quarter, Laker girls come out and do a dance to Juice. And Lizzo stands up and dances.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
And that's why she had not stood up until that point. She stood up in the fourth quarter when they were, then I blame it on the goose, gonna blame it on my juice. She stood up and turned around. And you could hear the gasp in the arena. And she unveiled the dress. And that's why she never got up to go to the bathroom or do anything.
How did she get down to her seat, though, with people not making a big
deal? She was wearing some sort of a long sweater or coat.
Oh.
And then she took it off strategically. Mm-hmm. I mean, now I've put all the pieces together. At the time, all I could think of was, she's in her seat at halftime, which means she's open to people coming up to her.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I did.
So you didn't have, in that situation, there was no barrier to get to her, right?
No, she was with a friend and a manager. And I stood back and I sort of stood so they could see if this girl wants to talk. And I didn't even look directly at her. I sort of surveyed the manager and the friend, like, is it okay if I come closer? And I'm super respectful of those people who I think should have their privacy. They're just out having a good time. But I just explained who I was and what we were doing and that Minneapolis loves her and claims her. And she will be talking directly to Minneapolis live, her people. Mm-hmm. And she was like, sure, yes, I love Minneapolis. That place means so much to me. I still don't know that she knew what she was doing in terms of who I was and what we were doing. Her manager, if you ever watch that again, her manager is standing in front of me. Our director, Dave Dittman, kept saying in my earpiece, get that guy to move. Move that guy. What does he do? Because I sat in his seat. Well, they started to play, and he's like, let's go. Can you go? And I'm like, we're alive. We were in commercial break during the timeout. Don't you get?
Yeah.
He did not understand it. So he's standing there trying to get me to move along. And I'm like kind of pointing to my mic and conducting the interview at the same time. So he's standing there trying to get to his courtside seat, blocking my view. In that interview, if you'll recall, she gushed over Karl Anthony Towns. She was like, that's my guy. That's my boo.
Yeah.
I followed up with the natural reporter question of, do you know him? I had never heard that they were friends. She said, no. And then we moved on to the interview. Innocent enough. Carl told me later, he came up to me a couple days later and said, hey, you really, I can tell this story now. I couldn't at the time, but he said, you really saved me in that interview. And I said, what interview? And he's like, Lizzo. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he goes, well, you know, when she said, that's my guy, he goes, it made it sound like, we were hooking up. Which it did. I mean, she was.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just thought maybe they're friends.
He's a fan. Like, I'm a huge fan of his. Like, that's my guy. I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, but she was saying, that's my guy. That's my move. That's my guy. And I said, do you know him? And she goes, no. And then I went on to my next question. And Carl said, you saved me. Because he had a girl at that game. And he told me her name. And I had never heard of her. And her name is Jordan Woods. And that's who he is still dating. And they have gone public. And that was very early on in their relationship. And he's like, basically, Lizzo is at courtside being like, yeah, me and Carl. And then I say, do you know him? And she says, no. And Carl's like,
you saved me
because I had a girl there. And it made it look like I had two girls there.
Yeah.
When my girl hears about this interview, which was all over Twitter, and I don't say that to brag, it was because Lizzo wore a dress that wasn't all there. So let me just bring all the pieces together, Ben.
Wow.
And a lot happened that night with that lady and that interview.
Yeah. Well, and
I saved a relationship that is still going strong and has recently become public.
You fortified that relationship, I think.
But all you're welcome, not only Carl and Jordan, but you're welcome, America.
Any other interviews you've done that you've saved relationships with?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head. I might have ruined a couple, but.
Do you have any memorable interviews that just went horribly wrong with like a celebrity or just super awkward?
I really thought the Josh Duhamel one did at Target Field.
No, that went awesome.
But I thought I could potentially get fired because I knew those guys were drinking and I did the interview anyway. And it turned out to be the most wonderful thing in the world that they were drinking. But as soon as it was done, I was like, holy shit, this was either awesome or terrible.
Yes.
Because I was supposed to do that interview in the second inning. And it was Rod Carew night, and Rod Carew was in the booth with Dick and Bert, and he ended up staying because it was a really short inning. So they kept him. So our producer was like, we're pushing back the Josh Duhamel interview. And I'm like, oh, shit. So I text Josh, and I'm like, they're pushing it back. He's like, that's fine. Just let me know when you need me. But they all kept drinking.
Yeah.
It was meat sauce, and I don't think Kyle Rudolph was part of that. But Swartzen, those guys. So I thought it went terribly wrong, potentially, because I knew he was drunk. And he said, he's like, if you want to do it, that's fine. I'm ready. It was the sixth inning by then. I mean, that's two and a half hours of a baseball game.
When they pre-partied before that, there was some drinking going on before, and then you've got over 2 hours to drink at the game.
And Kiss Cam came on in the ballpark as we started this interview. It just all hammered at once. But it turned out it was okay, and I didn't get in trouble for it.
What did Matt say, your husband?
I asked him, because several people brought it up on Twitter or even texted me personally and was like, holy shit, what did Matt say? And I was like, nothing. Yeah. Why? It didn't even faze me. Because Josh kissed me several times on the cheek because Kiss Cam was up.
Yeah.
And I asked Matt, I'm like, oh my God, I'm sorry. I didn't even ask you. And he was like, what? It didn't faze either one of us. That's how comfortable we are in our marriage. That's how threatened we are by other people in our marriage.
You and Josh have known each other for a long time, though. I feel like that's different. That'd be different if it was like somebody you barely knew and the guy was like kissing on you.
But also Matt knows me. He knows I'm not like.
And plus you're live TV.
Like she might be looking to. No, I'm like, God, when am I going to go home and put on my sweats?
You weren't orchestrating that whole thing to happen.
Like, no, God,
hey,
no.
Hey, and then I'm going to come over to you, and then I'm going to ask you a series of questions, and I've got the Kiss Cam guy ready to dial this thing.
Oh, hell no.
You know, it's like, of course he's going to be like, yeah, it's fine. Like, what?
But how else would we know God bless vodka?
I know.
And God bless bourbon whiskey.
Douglas and Todd.
Yeah.
That's perfect for Thanksgiving.
I'm going to have, you know what I need to get is one of those ice cube makers that makes the big round ball of ice. I do not have that. And I don't feel like I can have a glass
you know what's funny about this?
Whiskey without it.
You know what? We touched on the social media bullshit that happens where people just love to, like, I guess the throwaway word is judge you for everything, right? So I tweeted out a picture one time of me drinking a Douglas and Todd, and we're just like, whatever, uh-huh. as what we do on social media. And I have one of those little round ice ball makers, right? Pretty simple. Buy it at any liquor store.
Hmm.
Somebody ripped me for my quality of ice that I had in the glass.
Like and the like, shape of the cube?
No,
or
because
the...
it's like, I guess it's not like clear, and it had like cracks in it because it's just like a homemade ice cube.
Because it's an ice cube?
Yeah.
What are you supposed
well,
to
the,
use?
Well, like the real high-end craft ice is like almost see-through and it's like perfectly
round. Oh, really?
Round and
how
smooth.
Do you get it? What do you do to the
I
water?
I don't know.
You distill it and then you boil it and then
yeah,
you
yeah, I have no idea.
But,
oh, I figured you know, that's a terrible looking ice cube. I'm like,
wow.
Get the fuck out of here. Like, you're ripping my ice cube?
Boy,
come
people
on.
Are just desperate. They'll just rip you for anything.
And not that it really affected you. Like, that's what you're going to say? Like, you can rip anything. Like, the ice cube?
What are they going to say when I show myself with a glass of Douglas and Todd and it's right from my freezer dispenser and half of it came out as crushed ice and half of it came out as cubed and it's just all shaved and floating everywhere?
It's like, sorry, my kids were using crushed ice and I
when you do the changeover?
The cube button and sometimes you get that crushed ice
right.
in there. Oh, there's another time where somebody like, I just grabbed a handful of ice and just like regular ice and I just like put it in my glass. And they said to him like, be better if you only had two cubes in there. I'm like, okay,
so it's the
number of cubes. Jeez. Unbelievable, these people.
It's bourbon or it's whiskey. Is it bourbon or is it whiskey?
It's bourbon.
Why does it say bourbon whiskey?
Because all bourbon is whiskey, but not all whiskey is bourbon. It's kind of like one of those.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's kind of like one of those
fancy
Mensa tests, you know? Does A equal B? Does B equals A or whatever?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, this is the first bottle I've ever had in my entire life of bourbon or whiskey.
Is it really?
Yeah. I have Captain and Malibu and Grey Duck and beer.
I tell you what, Malibu is one of those things that you want to talk about nostalgic things that I drank in college. This is going to sound disgusting. Malibu and Dr. Pepper.
Oh, no, I love it.
Oh, you know it?
Yeah, no, but I love it. I love Dr. Pepper and I love Malibu. And my drink that I make, my favorite drink, is Captain and Coke.
Yep.
With grenadine. So now it's a cherry Coke. And then add Malibu.
Whoa.
So I can see Dr. Pepper and Malibu because just adding a coconut flavor to a.
I love
so
coconut.
Let's go through it again. Captain and Coke with grenadine.
Mm-hmm.
And some Malibu.
And you splash the Malibu, or is it like a...
No,
you're
want to feel it. I want to feel it.
God, good for you.
Yeah.
I feel like Malibu...
I make that all the time. That is my constant mixed drink.
I feel like Malibu gets ripped. And it's like one of those things like you kind of as a guy like, yeah, I'll drink Malibu once in a while. Like it's summertime.
It does feel like you need the paper umbrella straw to go in your
drink. It's kind of like rosé. Like I've gotten to the point where like, my wife really loves rosé, and I like rosé. Like it's all like if I order it, it always feels kind of weird. Like my wife will order. Of course, I'll let her order first. You know, ladies go first, and she's like, "I'll get a rosé." Like, and they'll look at me, and I'm like, "I'll just do the same thing."
Is that a blush wine or a red or
it's like a pink wine? I don't know how to make
it's a
it.
Blush,
yeah.
Isn't that
blush? Sure, yeah.
I like red wine, and that's about it. I love Apothic Red. But rosé, anytime I see a blush wine, I feel like it's sweet, like so sweet.
It's not, well, you have to be careful, kind of like a lot of wines. Like it takes a few to try before you find the ones that you like. But my wife likes the dry. If you ask for extra dry or dry rosé, that's what we both like.
Oh,
so it's not sweet.
Okay.
So it's not like super sweet.
No, extra dry?
Yeah.
You have to chew it?
Yeah, it comes out curdled.
Yes. With how many cubes? Curdled wine.
So
you get ripped
for what you wear and your hair, and I get ripped for the ice that I put in my bourbon.
It's always something.
It's always
something.
It's always something.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, This is kind of it. We're over an hour already.
And oh my gosh!
I know.
And oh, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Listen,
I don't know.
I think with a podcast you can do it as long as it's as short as
no
you
rules.
Want, and it's no rules. And I really could go another hour with you, another 2 hours. But
I'm too hungry for that. I'm starting to go cross-eyed.
Well, I thought you did your Sanford stuff going on.
Oh, I
right?
did. Yeah, I had a shake when I left the house at 6 in the morning, and then I had a protein bar at 8.
Yeah.
It's 11:15.
You know what's been crazy? I don't think I've had a true breakfast in 6 months, maybe?
Like a pancakes and eggs?
Kind of? No, like a normal hour breakfast, like a 7 or 8. Like,
oh.
I'm doing the whole, like, I just do the whole, like, intermittent fasting
you're
thing.
You're on meat thing, right?
No, the meat thing's
oh,
over.
You're, oh, okay.
So,
okay,
like, the
so
intermittent
let me get
fasting, where, like, you don't really
yeah,
eat until, like,
yeah, lunch.
Noon or whatever. Okay. I feel really good when I do that. It's
don't
amazing
you feel
how
hungry?
Good I No, because I usually put a decent amount of coconut oil or some sort of MCT oil in my coffee in the morning, and that satiates me.
I'm sorry, what?
It keeps me full.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're not having nothing. You are having a coffee.
Yeah, I'll drink coffee. You can drink coffee or tea. But then it's amazing, like, how much more clear and awake I feel not eating in the morning.
I have a profile shake every morning.
Yeah.
And it's so easy and routine, and I don't. And then, oh boy, I have a scrambled egg mixture. I don't think we have time.
We get some time.
I pre-make it. I do like a Jimmy Dean's or some sort of sausage, and I do two of them so that this will. I mean, this mixture will last me like 2 months.
Mm.
And I brown it with a ton of onions. I love onions.
Oh, I do too.
So I brown it all up, and then I put it into individual Ziploc. So I, when I make scrambled eggs, I pull one of these out of the freezer. It's a Jimmy Dean and onion mix.
Oh, so
and it's just enough for a single serving. So then I do one egg and some egg whites.
Yeah.
And then I add that Jimmy Dean sausage mixture. And that is what I have for breakfast, like at a 10:30, 11. After
yeah,
like my protein acceptable. Shake is just to
yeah,
get me going.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
that's a mid-morning. I have scrambled egg and a scoop of cottage cheese.
Mm.
Melted that, cold that stuff is gross. Melted. It is delicious, and I have that, I would not shit you, 5 to 6 days a week, every week. Not on the road, because I don't bring a frying pan
yeah.
with me.
That does sound delicious, though, because I do love eggs. I love any sort of sausage or bacon.
Yeah.
or and,
yeah.
and as I've gotten older, I will put raw onions on my burgers, but grilled onions.
Oh,
God.
Sautéed or
sautéed,
caramelized?
Oh, caramelized onions.
Oh,
the best.
The best.
I'm like, where was, why was I that kid that was like, I'm not going to eat it. It's vegetables. I wish my parents just would have opened my mouth and shoved it down my throat because they're like,
no, then you
eat
it.
This is good. This is so
my
good.
My favorite hamburger is a patty melt for that reason. It's always
what do you mean?
Got
what do you
the
mean a
sauteed.
It's
like a burger on toast with sautéed onions.
Oh, I see what you're okay, okay.
It's because it's always got the sautéed onions.
Yeah.
Always.
And
toast doesn't get soggy like a bun can soak it all up. And oh,
I just, getcha.
I love patty melts.
That sounds yummy. I think we'll end this on patty melts. So, Marnie Gellner, thank you so much for hanging out with
it's
me and talking and just having a conversation. And I know we didn't like dig deep into your life, but you're just entertaining and you're... You're just fun to talk to. So thank you. And I'm excited for you to get your NBA season started. I know that's
– Let's go.
But happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
This will air after Thanksgiving, but I hope you have a great
Thanksgiving. Oh, well, in that case, it was wonderful.
It was
thank
wonderful.
You.
Yes. Got to be careful not to timestamp this thing too much.
Yeah,
but,
yeah,
yes,
yeah.
This is – we are a day before Thanksgiving. So happy Thanksgiving. And it sucks that we don't get to see each other as often because –
Yeah.
On the power trip, I'm on the
yeah.
days that
how do they not schedule us together?
I know. They need
what
to,
are they thinking?
Maybe we should just have our own show. We should.
Is
we
this
should
it?
Talk,
episode
we should,
one.
We should talk to Chad Abbott and say, like, listen, we just need our own 1 hour show.
Yeah, that's all
just,
we need.
That's all we need.
Just get the sponsors. They're out there.
And not super early.
What if people are listening to this show, this podcast, and they're like, I would sponsor that. I am currently emailing Chad Abbott at, I don't, do you know his email?
I don't
either.
Shoot. Chad.Abbott.
I don't know. I can see it. I mean, I enjoyed this. This has been a good conversation, and I enjoy your company, and I wish the best for you and your family.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate that. And everybody else, please keep listening, keep subscribing. You can find us on iHeart, Spotify, and Apple Podcast. It's unrestricted. And please, awesome, I've gotten many, many statements and feedback and comments. I guess comments is the word I was looking for. A lot of comments on the show, and they've all been very positive. So thank you for the comments. And if you are going to leave a nasty comment, just be gentle because I am thin-skinned. So that'll be it for Unrestricted.
Same.
Bye, everybody. Bye.